Sunday mornings, and I go over my notes again and just take one last look at them, make a couple little adjustments if I need to. And then many of you know that we our house is situated such that it's really convenient for us to sit out on our porch, and it's a four-season porch, and I can just look out over the scenery and all the fresh snow this morning, and it's just very peaceful, and it's just a very, it's just like a sanctuary for us. And I just felt some things stirring in my heart, and I thought, well, okay, I'll have to do that sometime. About the church, what is the purpose of the church? I just kept asking the Lord, you know, what are we doing here? Just to be honest with you, I ask, Lord, what are we doing here? And why are we doing what we're doing? How do we do what we're doing? What else could we be doing that we're doing? Because I want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. I don't want to just go through the motions. I want to be having an impact and an influence on people. And Ephesians 4, obviously, gives us some very clear instructions. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, after God has given certain gifts to the church, and I walk in at least two of those offices as far as a pastor and a teacher, and have for many, many years. But what's the purpose? Verse 12, for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to say something that some evangelists might get all upset about, but it actually doesn't talk there about winning the lost in those first three things as a pastor, minister, as a teacher. My first responsibility is to the church. My first responsibility is to help you grow up and mature in Christ. My first responsibility, according to verse 12, is so that you mature as the saints, that you learn what it is to do the work of the ministry and how to edify one another and then build up the body of Christ. You're out there building up the body of Christ. Amen? You're out there doing something. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, or again, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And if you've been around this church for any length of time, around Pastor Mary and I for any length of time, you know that our number one passion is dealing with the traditions and doctrines of men that make the word of God of none effect. Mark chapter 7. Jesus dealt with the leaven of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians. And that leaven can compromise our message, can compromise who we are as believers. And we have to be established in the Word of God so that when these things come, and there's a lot of stuff coming out these days, even from good Christian leaders who have, I don't know what's happened, but they've started to drift. They've gotten into more of a social understanding of the gospel, more of a social idea about how they're going to present the gospel. And so they've drifted away from what I would consider the mission of the church, the primary requirement of the church. And that is here for us to not be tossed with every wind of doctrine, not be confused or caught up in the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, it says, because they lie in wait to deceive. And there's whole denominations, I'm just going to be honest with you, that have now been deceived. Some denominations are, if you've been watching the news at all, are splitting right down the middle over some of these doctrinal issues. And this, it's splitting up families, it's splitting up churches, it's splitting up, I mean, church, some organizations, they don't know what they're going to do. Are we going to lose our property? Who's going to, you know, what's going to happen to a lot of these churches? But, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, that He's the head of the church, Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So if we're going to see this body increase, it's not my wonderful preaching, it's not Pastor Mary's awesome preaching, but she's the more awesome preacher here, you know, but it's us strengthening and edifying one another, and going out and doing exactly what the Bible says here, and that's reaching people with the truth. Not being caught up with what they're caught up with, not being affected by what they're, in a sense, focusing on. Sometimes, if you continue asking the wrong question, what do you usually get? The wrong answers. And a lot of the world is asking the wrong questions. But we have the right answers, even for the wrong questions. Amen? When Jesus was asked the wrong question, what did he turn around and do? He asked the right question. He turned around and turned it around and said, you know, really, have you thought of this? Consider it this way. Look at it from this perspective. But we can't do that if we're not so established in the truth that we can recognize when someone's trying to deceive us, when someone's trying to use sleight of hand here. Amen? We ought to be so established that when the something is not truthful, our little Geiger counter goes off on the inside like, it's wrong. You know, and we have to understand that. So, when it says, till we all come into the union of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. These are the two passages that just kind of sprung up on me this morning. Like I said, I put my notes down. I'm not going to preach my sermon this morning. We'll come back to that next week. I'm just going to wing it, if that's all right. Verse 28. Boy, I could just camp here in this whole chapter for a while, but let's just... it's really hard not to go back. So many times I read the Bible backwards, because you start in verse 28, and the verse right before that talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Like before that, talks about the mystery which is in you. Talks about in him all the way through that chapter a dozen different times. But you get to verse 28, and this is Paul writing, and he really defines the mission statement of the church, if I can put it that way. Paul's defining why the church exists. And as I said earlier, that's what I was doing this morning. And I was praying and I was asking the Lord about our church and declaring, you know, sometimes you don't pray, sometimes you just speak the word. You know, there's certain things you just declare. And so I was speaking the word over our church. I was declaring standing room only. And I was talking about every church, you know, every seat filled and so forth. People coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west, which if I went from all of your zip codes, that's what's happening right here today. And I'm just calling them in, just calling them in. I'm the shepherd. I'm calling in the sheep. And yet I keep going, Lord, I just give me something about the church. I just need that assignment. And I know what it is. I mean, but sometimes you just need a little more to go with it. And so this verse, to me, Paul's telling the church exactly, to me, what the mission statement. You know, there's a vision statement, and then there's a mission statement. And sometimes you can get all messed up with a vision you cast, and then a mission you go do. There's ways to look at that. There's different ways. But verse 20, let's read that. Speaking of Christ in us, the hope of glory, whom, speaking of Jesus, we preach or we declare, warning every man. So I'm going to underline that, warning. Teaching every man. So we want to put there, teaching in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. So, if I was a Baptist, I'd have a three-point sermon right here. Because what we have here is warning every man, teaching every man, presenting every man. How do we do that? We get them to know who they are in Christ. And as we were worshiping and the words of exhortation that came forth and so forth, like I said earlier, you may get tired of me talking about being in Him. But without that revelation, we're lost, folks. This is the basic problem with most Christianity. They do not know who they are in Christ and who Christ is in them. They're still down here, and Jesus is way up there. And they're still trying to get His attention. Or they're trying to get His blessing. They're trying to get him to heal them or prosper them or, oh, we need a touch, Lord. Kumbaya. Oh, won't you come, Lord? I've been with some ministers, and they say it so passionately and so wonderfully, and I want to just shake them. And they say, oh, Lord, won't you come? I know what they mean in the sense they want a fresh outpouring. They want some kind of sign that he's there with them. And I don't need that because by faith, I believe he's here. By faith, I know he's here. Greater is he that's in me than he that's up there. I'm not looking for Jesus. Oh, Jesus, please, Jesus, Jesus. And yet you talk to people and they still have that mentality. Yes, he's seated in heavenly places. But where are you? In him. Seated in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. So, when I'm down here dealing with all this worldly stuff, every now and then I have to just kind of back up and get up here and go, oh, that doesn't look so bad after all. It looks a lot smaller the higher you get. That little problem down there, that's nothing. I can conquer that. So the end, you step down and you go, and you step on it. Come on. But see, if you don't see it from your place where you're seated in Christ, under the circumstances. And like they always say, what are you doing under them? Amen? Now, I know you've heard a lot of this before, but I just believe the Spirit of God is saying to us, here's a mission statement for us. If we're going to break out of whatever it is that much of the church is stuck in right now, everywhere I go and every minister I talk to, we're all talking about, we're on the cusp. I've heard that word a lot. We're on the cusp of a breakthrough. We're on the cusp of revival. Well, you know where revival starts? Right here. In my own heart. And as much as maybe some of you don't understand, I believe this whole immerse Bible reading experience is going to help motivate that, going to help push us along just a little bit. And that's why we're so encouraging you to be a part of it. Because I believe the more you spend time in the Word of God, the more you'll realize who He is, and you're going to know who He is in you and you in Him. I really don't know someone as well unless I spend time with them. You know, there's a lot of people who say, well, do you know Brother so-and-so? And I said, yeah, I've met him, but really I don't know what he's like. I don't know him personally. He's not on my speed dial, you know. But I got Jesus on my speed dial, let me tell you. Amen. Because there's times I need him, and I need him now. It's like we've said, I know right where he is. He's right here. I don't have to go too far to find Jesus. Amen. But let's read this again. Speaking of Jesus, we're going to preach Jesus. And as we preach Jesus, part of what we're preaching, we're going to use the wisdom of God that we preach to warn people, to teach people, warn every man, teach every man, perfect every man. I've got a note. You ever seen my Bible? I got little notes in my Bible. The word perfect there is T-E-L-I-O-S in the Greek. Number 5046 in your Strong Reference Bible, if you really want to know. It means, it's used here to describe a full-grown adult, a spiritually mature individual living in accordance to God's will. So it says we're going to warn every man, we're going to teach every man, and we're going to present every man. That man is going to be perfect. He's going to be able to be full grown as an adult, spiritually mature, living in accordance to God's will. Well, God's word and God's will are identical. They're the same. They're synonymous. You can't know God's will without knowing God's word. And when you know God's word, what do you know? God's will. I can't tell you how many times over the years someone said, oh, Pastor, I just need to know what God's will is. Now, sometimes it's hard to say, do I go to this college or do I go to that college? Do I take this job or do I take that job? But see, the will of God boils down to this. Follow after peace and pleasantness. God's will may lead you and guide you into all the truth. And the truth may be when you start to think about this and you start to pray about this, which one leads to the peace and pleasantness? That's God's will. That's God's word. and then you come over here and you're all agitated and you're trying to make that one happen, I'd just say back off a little bit and maybe just pray about a little longer. If you're trying to force it, maybe it's not quite ready yet. Maybe it's not quite something you should be doing right then. I hate to say it, but we've all probably stepped out prematurely into something and then possibly, you know, paid the price for it. But when it comes to the things of God, I want to be able to say it. Our church is here and our mission statement is here to use the wisdom of God and preach the wisdom of God. We're here to warn people about what's coming. We're here to warn people about the deception that's out there in the world. I have no problem warning people that there are things under the name of Christ and Christian right now. Well, I'm way off shooting from the hip, so I might as well just shoot like a shotgun. I'm a scattergun today. There's a certain presidential candidate who's an openly gay man who quotes the Bible all the time in his speeches. Why does he do that? There's only one reason. He's presenting himself as the most godly man on the platform, as the most righteous man, as the most caring and compassionate and open and acceptable man. And I hate to tell the guy, but if Jesus was standing there, he would. This is exactly what Jesus said. You do err not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. That's the Word of God. That's what Jesus had to say for those people who were trying to present themselves religiously as righteous in their own self-righteousness. And we got a lot of that going on right now. From politics, to churches, to business, it's in our culture. It's all the seven mountains, if you're familiar with the seven mountains of culture. It's in Hollywood specifically. The few people that stand up in Hollywood get don't let the enemy shut you down. Don't let the enemy silence you when you have an opportunity. Now, I'm not advocating that you jump up in the middle of the table, in the middle of your work, wherever you work, at lunch hall, and start, you know, screaming and hollering and preaching the gospel. But I would suggest that maybe you invite some people out to lunch or coffee and get to know them and let them get to know you. And you'd be surprised the doors that open. Pastor Marina have been just blessed in our neighborhood. You know, we lived in Highland Park for years and years and years. And I can't say that I really knew anybody that was a believer and was outwardly bold enough to declare to us. Because, you know, some people say, oh, you're a pastor. And for some reason, and I don't know why, some of their walls go up. They put their, you know, red alert, shields up, you know. They just go crazy because all of a sudden, oh, he's a preacher. I was fine with you a minute ago, and you were fine with me a minute ago. All of a sudden, now you find out I'm a preacher? What's the difference? All of a sudden, they got to clean their act up around me. They got to watch what they say around me. They got to watch what they do around me. No, they don't. I don't care what they do. I'm not their judge. That's part of what I was trying to preach last week about no condemnation. And I was going to get into that a little bit more this morning. But when we have the light of the gospel on the inside of us, people are going to sense that. But if we're going to use wisdom to warn people, to teach people, so that they can be presented perfect, how do I present? My job is to present you perfect. Now, some of you, you need a little more perfecting. Hello. So do I. That's why Pastor Mary preaches and then I'm sitting here getting perfected. That's why I have other people preach here and then I can get perfected. That's why we have the guest ministers in. Then I get perfected. That's why I listen to things and read things all the time. I'm constantly challenging myself, iron sharpening iron. But if we understand our assignment, again, Colossians 1:28, use wisdom to preach, to warn, to teach every man so that we can present them perfect in Christ. Not just perfect of their lifestyle, so that they can be mature in Christ. Because once you're in Christ, the lifestyle comes with it. Much of religion has been trying to push people how to live the right way, how to say the right thing, how to do the right thing. And that's where the law came in. Now, assuming I can get to my message next week, we're going to find out from Romans and so forth, other scriptures, the law never intended us to be righteous through the law. The law actually proved to us we needed a Savior. I don't have the time to go through the book of Romans, but again, when we get there, as we're going through the Messiah, as we're going through the Immerse program, you're going to find out about that when you read the book of Romans. It's so obvious. When Paul's writing to the Corinthian or the Colossian church, and he's going through all this, if you just, I know you can't see this, but if you just could see all the little orange things here, all those are in him scriptures, just in the book, first two chapters. That's how I mark my Bible up. I can look at it and just in him, and new him. All those are in him scriptures that quickly, just like that. So when I'm opening my Bible and I'm reading my Bible, you know what it's screaming at me? You know what it's popping off the page at me? In whom I have redemption, verse 14. For in him we have all things that have been created. In him, verse 16. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Verse 19. By him all these things. I mean, I could just go on and on and on and on and on. Any one of them is a sermon. And yet we say, well, you know who you are in Christ. And you go, oh, yeah, I know who I am. I want us to be so perfected, so mature, a full-grown adult, a spiritually mature individual, living according to God's will, to be able to present you that way to God and to the world. That's my job as a pastor. That's your job in relationship to other people. You can have the opportunity with friends, with family, with children, with relatives, whoever they are, to be able to help them when the time comes to warn them about the deception that's out there. Because there's a lot of stuff that in the world sounds good. Doesn't it sound? Don't you think we should take care of people? Don't you think we should do this? Don't you think we should? Well, it sounds good. But is it biblically sound? That's what we have to ask ourselves. If it's not biblically sound, then we have to ask ourselves, what is? I want to be able to present you using the wisdom of God. Go back to Ephesians 4 again, because I believe this is where we can do something specific. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up, again, there's that maturing side, into who? Into Him in all things. So whatever it is, in Him, we can grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. The whole body fitly joined together and compacted. That's just crushed. You know what a compactor is? You put all your stuff in there and it crushes it down to a small size. We are being compacted together. You know, when it's standing room only, we will be compacted together. Amen? Compacted together by that which every joint supplies. That means you are a supplying joint. Too much of the body of Christ, as we have said it many times, is a dislocated joint. Have you ever had a dislocated joint in your body? I have. I've shared it before. I dislocated my torn ligaments and stuff in my elbow twice when I was in high school in sports. And I broke my arm once as a teenager as well. Breaking my arm was less painful than having the ligaments all ripped up and not being able to do things. And there's a lot of pain in the body of Christ right now because people aren't where they're supposed to be. Amen. There's a lot of pain, and there's a lot of things that are missing, dislocated joints. There's people that should be sitting in the churches today that are sitting at home, discouraged, offended, angry at God, offended over people because they care about them, but they didn't want them to be so snoopy and nosy, whatever it might be. And yet the Bible says, when the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, then the body is going to increase. I want to see this body increase. I want to see us grow up into the things of Him. And to do that, we're going to have to see Colossians 1:28 in operations. We're going to have to see Ephesians 4 into operation. And I believe that that's part of what God has called us to do. When I ask the Lord, what are we doing here? As a church, what are we doing here? Those are the verses that He gave me. And I wasn't intending to share that this morning, but I'm just going to be transparent. Okay, I'm transparent. You see what you get, that's it. That's my heart. That's where I'm coming from. That's why we're doing what we do. You know, in the last year or two, I've had more than one minister say to me, at this stage of my life, and I don't think of myself as old, but in some people's eyes, because I'm older than they are, maybe, not by much, but they'll say, what are you doing starting a new church at this stage of life? We were just with some ministers, and I told them, I said, I'm more excited about this than the last couple of years we were at the old, because I felt like we were on maintenance mode. And we were just trudging along like, God, what are we doing here? It's like walking through molasses. God, what are we doing? And this is like a whole blank canvas here in Mendota Heights in this part. It's like, yes, God has us here for a very specific reason. And we all have part to play. And I am blessed by what the Monday Muffins, the outreach, the Monday night Believer's Prayer Service, things that have, they're just God's doing things in the hearts of individuals. We may not, again, like the song says, we may not see Him working, but He's working. He is working more than we even believe, more than we understand. Yes, He's working. That song, we go over and over, even though we may not see Him working, He's working. If any place, He's working in the hearts of you and me. Amen? And He's preparing us. Because everywhere I go, everybody I talk to, they all feel like that we're just on that verge of a breakthrough, of a revival. And if we see that, like what we experienced back in the 70s, the charismatic renewal stuff, just hold on. Because people will be coming out of the woodwork. They'll be coming to you and say, okay, can you tell me what this Jesus thinks? So you're one of those Christians, right? So what's the deal? Well, come on. Next thing you know, you'll have a Bible study going at your home. Next thing you know, you'll be meeting him for lunch. Next thing you know, you'll be bringing him to church. Next thing you know, they're a drummer and I can get replaced. Glory to God. You have an ulterior motive, Pastor. You betcha I do. Because I want to be down here worshiping God. And be able to go with the flow and have, if I've got something I want to say, if I want to go with the flow, it's harder to get up out of there, and it's called a trap set for a reason, you know. So, I enjoy worshiping that way, but there are times that I also know I'm supposed to be down here on the front row and go with the flow. So, there's going to be, two or three worship teams probably by the time we're done, and so that we can alternate. That's the goal. So there's some empty seats here with guitar players and keyboard players and singers and drummers and flute players and cello players. And she's got her faith out for a whole list of things that she wants for instruments. So just watch out. Come on. Huh? A harmonica, did you say? Yeah. You're over there. You're playing the jew harp? Yep. All right, well, I've just... Spoons, yes. All right. Well, forgive me if I went too long. But anyways, that was on my heart. That's what I'm going to share with you. And sometimes it's good just to get up and shoot from the hip and not worry about notes. Did you ever do that, Pastor Mike? You have. Well, come rescue me. All right. Well, again, I'm just going to encourage you, if you have not yet got the books, and you're And if you're just wondering, do I need to do this? I can't say, thus saith the Lord, you know, do it. But I strongly encourage everyone to be a part of this, because I think it's going to be really, really a beneficial thing. And especially the discussion part of it, talking about what we get the book club. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to have you come up and close in prayer for me. Oh, I know you. Well, see, then you've got... Brother, you know me. You just jump up. You don't know. You're not barging in, you big barge. Just get up. I call him Pastor Mike because he's been a pastor in my circles for years and years and years. And because it's an office he stands in, whether he's functioning as it right now or not, and he's still going to be Pastor Mike. So when you hear me call him that, that's not because he's on staff here, but I guarantee you, and I've already told him this, so I'm not saying anything out of school, that when this place fills up, I'm going to need him to be on staff. So he can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
No pressure.
And what was that I was hearing?
Yeah. Get up higher. You'll hear it again.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, let's give God a praise.
Yes.
Let's give God a praise. Because His presence is truly here. And you and I know, we know, that during that song, the Holy Ghost settled in down upon us and rose up, as Pastor said, from within us. The Holy Spirit rose up from within us. We have no need to look for revival somewhere else. It is here. It is the word of faith is nigh thee in your hearts and in your mouth. And so we have the Spirit of God within us. And I hear the Spirit of God saying, that it is not your sacrifices that are weighed, but what is weighed is your obedience. What is measured is your obedience. And the measure that you give out your obedience will be the measure of blessings that you receive in return. That's what I heard the Spirit of God say. Hallelujah. And Father, we just pray, praise you. We thank you so much that you are working in our midst, that you are healing, and there is the healing power of God available in this place. The healing power of God. You know, the New Testament says, by His stripes you were healed. By His stripes ye were healed. Isaiah says that with His stripes we are healed. And Matthew tells us that Himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and carried our diseases. He took our sicknesses upon Himself on the cross. And you must think, meditate, and let it fill your heart that He took it. As we look at the cross, we realize that He took it. And so I have no business with that sickness. I have nothing to do with it. He took it. And you just thank God right now. You don't have to have hands laid on you every time. You could believe by the faith that is in you. You have faith. And you could say, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. If you believe you're healed, stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. If you believe you're healed and healthy. You are healed and healthy according to the... Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. He's here. Mighty in our midst. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you so much, Father. It's all in you. We can sit where we are, we can stand where we are, and we can take hold. We are able to be partakers of the things that you have promised, the inheritance of God, And so, Father, we're so thankful for today as Pastor followed the leading of the Holy Spirit today, following the song, Father. We're so thankful for what we've received. It has great value in our lives. And so, Father, help us to take these things. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And we take what we have received, and as we leave this place today, we leave as vessels of the Holy Spirit and all of the things of God. And we do have the answer. Christ in us, the hope of the lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen.